Hello, this is Pastor Trent. I want to welcome you to the Mountain Home Church of the Nazarene Sermon Podcast. We are thrilled that you are tuning in to hear sermons from our ministries here at our church. It is our hope that the Spirit of Christ would be present with you as you listen today. I do want to take just a moment to invite you to reach out and connect with us. On our website, we have a way for you to do just that. You can visit www.mhnazarene.org/connect and fill out a very brief form. There's a spot to leave contact info, ask questions, and even to request prayer. Also, be sure to indicate that you listen to us through our SoundCloud podcast to let us know where you're listening. May the Lord be with you this day. Grace and peace to you.
You'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow, it's thrown into the furnace. Won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We have been making our way through the Sermon on the Mount this summer. And right now, Jesus is in the middle of his sermon, his message with his disciples. And I encourage you, if you haven't read through the whole message of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, start from chapter 5 and read all the way through chapter 7. Last week, we heard Jesus speaking to the disciples about the Christian practices being reduced to disheartened motives. And those who pride themselves on their acts of outward piety rather than drawing closer to God creates a very muddy view within oneself and then from others. We walked briefly through the Lord's Prayer, being reminded of the relationship God desires with us and our participation in seeking his kingdom to come. Overall, chapter 6, the first half of it, relates to the relationship with the Heavenly Father. And in the second half today, Jesus speaks of the way we are to relate to the world and our unwavering trust in him. For when we are not seeking after him, our perceptions, our view becomes distorted and kind of tangled up. And that distortion puts our hearts out of line with God. And when we are out of line and we're not in sync with our Heavenly Father, our focus and our concerns are stockpiled in other areas. Our granddaughter, Kimber, celebrated her 5th birthday this last month. And she loves playing on the beach and in the sand and in the water. So we thought that a young kid's metal detector would be a really fun, good gift for her. And when she first pulled it out, simply in a box that her parents had to put together, yes, that's what you do when your kids now have kids, is you make them put things back together, right? That's what you do. She was confused, and she wasn't completely impressed by this really boring box. And we had told her that she could go around looking for treasure. Perhaps she could find something that nobody else knew about. And after they had pieced it together, her and her sister took it around the house. And they thought the lights and the sounds were the coolest thing. Because, you know, the more it gets closer to something, the louder the sound goes. And then all these lights were going off, right? Indicating that there was treasure somewhere. And as they went through the house, it kept going off. Now their eyes got real big and the excitement got bigger. Now what they didn't realize at the time, they have wooden floors. It's an old house put together with nails. Right? Okay, you guys get the picture, right? It didn't matter though. You know, the excitement of discovering their little treasure and all these lights going off with these unseen nails was this thrill of not seeing actual treasure yet. And the gift given gave them anticipation of what they could still discover. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God himself has given us, each person, their own treasure of gifts. Treasure of grace and mercy. A treasure of talent and personalities. Of dreams that inspire us in creative ways. And a treasure of relationships that we encounter. All for the building of God's kingdom. But our upside down worldview has taken those and has twisted them to where we don't even see them as treasures or believe we can go after them anymore. We're quite the interesting human beings, aren't we? Because sometimes we can take those gifts and those talents and put all our focus into them and stockpile them more and more into what we tend to lose our focus on, God's special gift. They go somewhere else. So the question is, how do we keep the good treasure of God's grace that he has given us without losing it or distorting it into our upside-down worldview? I kind of wonder, perhaps we need to be a pirate. Did you guys know that pirates used a blindfold on one eye because they believed that it would sharpen their eyesight on the other? Right? Then they would be in focus. If they took it off, I guess. A couple of tidbits about the human eye here. Were you aware that our irises have 256 unique characteristics compared to the fingerprints on your hand, which only have about 40? They say this is why many new security measures have the iris scans instead of the fingerprint scans. Here's another interesting fact about your eyes. Maybe you guys know this one. It's not possible to sneeze with your eyes closed. Or open, I mean, with your eyes open. Yeah, because I close my eyes all the time when I sneeze. The opposite, open. One more. Human and dogs are the only beings who recognize visual cues from the eyes of another being. Dogs recognize these signs only from humans. See into it, right? That's from the Optometry Today source. Jesus refers to the eye here as the lamp of the body. The eye, at least in the first century, was seen kind of like a window that either light or darkness showed the inner self. And the phrase, if your eye is bad, reflected darkness and sin in your heart. So Matthew's logic here, as we're reading, as we seek God himself, our eyes are a window, having single-minded devotion to God. And as a result, we become full of him and his light, to which our light would reflect out to others. But sometimes, perhaps more than not, we find ourselves, our eyes, our visions, a bit distorted. We see things partially, but not the full scope of the picture. Perhaps we need to wear an eye patch. We really have a bad worldview in which we see reality. For we can only see at times the smaller picture of what is right in front of us. The things that we don't have that others do. the things that social media throws right in front of us and says we need it. The constant buildup going viral into our thoughts. All those images of what we think we might need or want or perhaps are missing out on become ingrained into our minds. So much so that every click and scroll over is read. And our Enneagram rhythms discover that and place it right back in front of us. And it is set on repeat over and over and over again. And our view of reality, the real treasure gift, becomes distorted. And what bombards our brains is an upside-down worldview and not a heavenly view. We can also have a worldview within our workplaces too, right? Making the next corporate ladder or working those longer hours to be noticed and recognized or to get to that next, you fill in the blank. It can become so ingrained that we begin to not notice what is happening. And our focus becomes distorted and twisted and upside down. And Jesus is saying the way you see some of these things or store for yourself treasures will show up where your heart is. When what you do is out of focus from the treasure gift that has been given to you. But keep in mind, the treasure isn't the bad thing. The prayer, the giving, the fasting, the work, the gifts are not what is wrong. It's the distortion of us taking the gift and making it everything else about us and forgetting the hands that created it for us. Real treasure is within the presence of the living God. Amen. Not the to-do list of things to do or possessions that we have. Jesus is not prohibiting material wealth, as the verb to treasure refers to accumulation and not possession. For where your heart is, where your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of God's grace. This is where the distortion of worry comes in. For we move in this world according to what we can see. And sometimes what we can see gives us cause to fear and worry. But God doesn't want that in our lives. Remember the Lord's Prayer that we had spoken about last week? You guys will remember it too, I know. When we prayed, "Give us the bread we need today," we were requesting to be set free from material concerns and instead concentrating on the kingdom and the righteousness of God. Jesus gives the illustration of the birds in the air. They are to be reminders of what we can see. Now, what else do you see the birds doing? They fly around. They build their nests. They gather and they prepare their food. They are busy. And yet God still provides them. He gives them the wind to fly and twigs and scraps to build and bugs and worms to eat. We were made with a purpose in mind, to be creative, to be imaginative, to love, to serve, to worship, to build, to commune with our God and with each other. And he gave us the treasure right into our hands. But see, we have a tendency to take what we have been given and to make it our own and for our own devices. We're not satisfied with the gift, so we make it how we think it needs to be. And Jesus is telling us, God created you. I know what you need. And it is more than the birds of the air. Story. My kids say that we have a backyard like Snow White's forest. we have a couple of wild bunnies, and we have some squirrels that play around from tree to tree, and the birds that flock back and forth. And it's this whole community of all these little extra animals in our backyard. And we love to watch them and keep an eye on them. And I believe that they have their own personalities. I really do. I can imagine the one squirrel, he's sitting over on the tree and he says, "Hey brother, you run down to that pine tree and I'll distract the dogs over at the maple tree. Now you start wagging your tail, then I'll know when to run." Okay, you ready, set? No. And meanwhile, the birds are sitting in the tree mocking them, you know, and chit-chatting, and the rabbits are kneeling down in the grass filling their bellies. They are all busy gathering the things that they need, the loose dog hair and everything else to build their nest, and, you know, it's a whole story. And they go about doing what they were made to do. If you think about it, nature itself is very active. It's not passive, right? They don't simply wait around for God to build their nest or find their food and interact with each other. They are using their little treasure of gems given to them. So God knows our needs. And he says, look in verse 26. He uses the word look. Take notice. Take notice of not just the birds of the air, but what I provide for you, human. Take a look at the lilies of the field. Why worry when I have already provided? And it is good. You cannot, by your own anxious efforts, add anything fundamental to you or who you need to be. Adding more work does not make you any more valuable than the next. And doing things I have not gifted you with does not add more value to you as well. Much more, God has created our existence into life, and he has gifted us by his grace with our own beautiful treasure. And as a created human being, gifted with the talents and the gifts for work, for his glory, because guys, you've got dreams and you've got gifts and you have inspiration and you have thought, you have ability, and those beautiful treasures of grace abounds over you. But you of little faith, why do we struggle to trust Jesus in difficult situations? Faith and trust are required to live in an obedient life with Christ. Now, Jake read earlier the passage where King David gave praise and thanks to God, acknowledging all that he had been given for the building of a temple. And David acknowledging the real owner of everything that was provided for, the Lord himself. See, David trusted and had faith in God that even if things looked different than what he thought, God would provide. Why do we worry? Perhaps our focus on the treasure is more in the gift than the one giving the gift. Can't serve two masters. The idea that one should glide through life and not worry is certainly no way to cope in a complex society. And it is tempting to see Jesus' words as a lovely sentiment. We got to dig deeper here. We need to pull back and look with the wide-angle lens and note the context in which Jesus spoke. First, he's talking to his disciples, right? You know, who have been undergoing quite the angst in their own lives. Under Roman Empire, not having much themselves, searching for a better life, and the list could go on and on. Then we have Jesus himself. You know, Jesus did not walk blissfully through singing, "Don't worry, be happy." Jesus referred to the birds in the air may have nests, but he did not even have a place to lay his head after making his way across the lake. Later, we see Jesus fall on his knees at Gethsemane because of his own fate on the cross. He was deeply grieved even to death. We know unexpected events will occur, and the cost of following Jesus doesn't always look like we think either, right? In the context of his own life and ministry, they are in no way as a view of life that's not full of concern, but rather words of faithful invitation to see the treasure you have received and to have full confidence in the one who created you to great and mighty things with the gifts given to you. Jesus wants us to look deeper beyond the worry into the invitation of his reality called the kingdom of heaven. Now, if I'm honest, I must admit, I struggle with worry a bit. You know, I'm concerned when I have conversations and someone who's packing up their office after losing a job, telling them, not worry. Or someone who's been diagnosed with something very life-threatening to say, do not worry about tomorrow. You know, in these contexts, it comes across very non-compassionate and shallow and overly simplified and honestly very kind of Pollyanna-ish. And at the same time, I know worry and stress is one of man's worst enemies. It creates havoc on our bodies and places our minds where we don't need to go. Now, I caution here, because anxiety is a real serious mental condition. And to tell someone with this condition to not worry is possibly going to make things even worse. So what we have here are opposing views. One worldview maintains that your well-being, your soul, is dependent on your ability to work hard or by being creative to your survival. And the alternative worldview, which is being taught by Jesus, don't worry, I see you, I have you. So we have this mixture of both. And so it does get wrestling, right? But if we're going to rid ourselves of worry, we need to do something to replace it. And it's right here in Scripture. And instead of gathering all of our treasures and our gifts from God to ourselves, including our talents and our dreams, our concerns of whatever it is that is in stockpile that we have over, we need to hand it over to Jesus. And what if we as believers in the kingdom of God, as his children, his servants, his friends, his witnesses, desire, thirst, seek the welfare of the kingdom of God above all other priorities, and then hand it over to him? Continuously, every day, first and foremost. For as we seek God's righteousness, releasing the hold on what has been clouding our eyes, and obeying in the strength of the Lord, the results are in his hands, which is why he can say to us, do not worry, and all these things will be given to you as well. There's a medieval theologian, Catherine of Siena, and she says she believed that God could have created us in such a way that we had in ourselves everything we needed to live complete and fulfilled lives. But he chose not to do that. And here is what she writes in speaking from God's voice. I could easily have created humanity possessed of all that they should need, both for body and soul, but I wish that one should have need of the other, and that they should be my ministers to administer the graces and gifts that they have received from. End quote. Hannah, I'll have you come on up. Our treasure is a gift that can be opened up if we allow God to do his will with it. And Jesus invites us through the birds and the lilies to see truly the world of a loving providence in which we live, surrounding ourselves with others who have been given the treasure as well. And we have everything we already need that he has entrusted us with. So I encourage you, go, look, place it in his hands, and desire and seek first God's kingdom. Put that into his hands. out his name. Give it before him. As we close, we like to stand and hold our hands out as a physical reminder to receive God's words today. So if you are we finishing out, we're going to finish out with the Lord's Prayer this morning. So as we did last week, remembering seeking God first, knowing he will fulfill our every need. So today we're going to use the words trespasses when we get there. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Go in peace today.
Thanks for joining us today on the Mountain Home Church of the Nazarene podcast. Don't forget to visit us at mhnazarene.org/connect if you'd like to connect with us, and have a great week.